2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Good morning. Our top story today, 6 of 8 Granite District High School state that 75% now shutting down or have shut down to in-person learning. Back in online learning, they've hit that 15 case threshold.
Yeah, 15, is that still the right number? From the beginning, Granite has stuck to the 15 case threshold. If we hit that, boom, we're closing schools. I want to know if they're going to continue with this. Let's bring on Ben Horsley with the Granite School District. Ben, a lot of high schools shut down in your district. 15. Oh, I think we're still reaching out to Ben right now, but as soon as he gets on the line, we'll jump out to him.
But you've been thinking, we and I have been talking about this all morning long, Dave. You feel that that 15-case threshold is too low, and Granite District has been one of the districts that has really stuck to their plan, which is 15 cases, they shut down to in-person learning, but now you're getting the sense that that may be too low?
Well, let's look at the numbers, right? I mean, 15 was the number they negotiated. I'm not trying to argue with that, but we're talking about, say, 2,000 kids in a high school. Well, if 15 of them have COVID, less than 1%. Now, obviously, more kids have it. This is just 15 that test positive. But still, when you're comparing 15 in an elementary school and 15 in a high school, totally different numbers.
I feel as though this is very yo-yo. Yo-yo learning. They're in class learning one moment, and then the next moment they're shut back down and online learning back at home. Ben Horsley of the Granite School District, are you in any sort of negotiations at all, maybe behind the scenes, to move that threshold, move that needle up higher so it's not 15 anymore? Maybe it's 25 or 30 cases per school before they get shut down?
Well, Debbie, sorry, my yo-yo fell on the ground here. Let me pick that back up. The notion that we're going to negotiate with state health officials is we're going to push back, we're going to question, we're going to try to understand, but at the end of the day, we're not health experts. They are, and we respect the threshold that they have established based on the parameters that they have established. So while we continue to work with them, And in close conjunction, at this point in time, that threshold, it doesn't look like it's going to change. And since that is their best advice at this point in time, we're going to continue to follow it.
I've looked at so many of these decisions that were made, and we've been able to adapt them and change them the more we learn. I get that the 15 was a good starting point, but you look at it now, it just feels like it's too low. And when you're shutting down 6 of 8 high schools, I think, doesn't that prove out that 15 has got to be too low?
Well, let's go back. I think some people think that this is kind of willy-nilly decision-making. This decision, this guidance was given to us back in May and June of this year when we were making our plans. And so I think it's funny. The media goes into mass hysteria every time we dismiss a high school to distance learning. But that was all part of the plan. There were people who were criticizing the fact that we were going back to in-person instruction in the first place, saying, you're going to have to shut down. And we said, yes, we know. We know that we live in a pandemic and that that's going to actually have to happen at some point in time when there are spikes in cases. And so now we're here doing it, and people are saying, well, you shouldn't shut down because now the threshold's too low. So I respect what you're saying, Dave. What I would counter with that is the basis of that number was the conclusion that we would have a lot more school-level transmission than we're actually having. We know a lot more about the disease now than we did even just 4 or 5 months ago. Do I expect that state health officials, along with the State Board of Education, will come back and evaluate that figure? Yeah, but am I okay with that figure right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're following our plans. We knew this would happen, and we're okay with it. We built in to our system the ability to seamlessly transition between distance and in-person instruction. Our teachers are doing a remarkable job. It's challenging, yes, but so is going to school in the midst of a pandemic.
Ben, before we let you go, riddle me this. How in the world do you know kids are returning to in-person learning when they do come back from online learning that they're COVID-free? Do you test all the kids?
Well, it's funny that you say that because I'm sitting here right now at Granger High School, where we have partnered with the University of Utah for the West Valley community. Both Hunter and Granger are in dismissal. And the idea is once they've hit the seventh day of that dismissal, a lot of kids who might have had exposure potentially were prioritized for testing. Teachers were prioritized for free testing. And the idea is before we head back into school, when these dismissals come back early next week, that they will have been had an opportunity, been tested after that incubation period, had some time to incubate, frankly. And we can keep those individuals out of the school after this dismissal is over. So a lot of great out-of-the-box thinking is working and strategizing to, again, work to keep our schools safe places. I have no problems dismissing with 15 cases. What that really tells us is there's actually probably 50 or 60 cases in a school of asymptomatic individuals or students who, frankly, have low symptoms and don't realize they're sick. And so, again, that threshold, the testing, you're absolutely right. We need to continue to modify that and work on that.
Ben Horsley, thank you so much for joining us this morning from the Granite School District. 6 of 8 high schools shut down in the Granite School District, but no elementary or junior high schools are shut down, just the high schools. Very, very interesting.
Ben Horsley pushing back on Dave's take. Dave's saying 15. 15 seems too low now that we're so many months into the pandemic. Keep them in high school, he says, because kids are safer there than at home. Do you agree with Dave? Do you agree with Dave? Because I'll give you my take. We're going to debate this straight ahead.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's 2020 school year. Special coverage with David Dujanovic.
We just hung up the phone with Ben Horsley of the Granite School District talking about 6 of 8 high schools in Granite now distance learning, online learning, because they hit the 15-case threshold for COVID. Dave's been arguing with me all morning that 15 is just too low, that maybe Granite needs to reconsider, go higher. We're going to get into that in a moment with your phone calls. Also, the school district in Utah that has remained mostly online since March is now trying to decide if it's now time to hold more in-person classes, David.
Yeah, that's the Salt Lake City School District. One doctor has been telling district officials that elementary schools aren't the challenge. It's the high schools. And I'm saying, open up the schools. Do you agree with me or disagree with me? Give us a call, 801-575-TALK. I'll explain to you why. I'm not looking to get your kids sick. I think there's actually an argument to be made that it's safer at schools.
Let's jump into what the Salt Lake City School District is doing and debating whether it's time to have more in-person classes or should they stay online. Let's get more now from KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce.
After kids went back to school this fall, coronavirus infections went up dramatically. But Dr. Adam Hirsch with Primary Children's Hospital told the board, while elementary schoolers have shown up to class with mild cases, it's also easier for them to follow the rules.
Generally, elementary age students don't have school-associated extracurricular activities, and they're much more supervised. The ability to apply mitigation strategies is much easier.
Dr. Hirsch believes high schoolers socializing without masks is a bigger problem. Several parents are thinking about suing Salt Lake City schools to bring back in-person classes, saying online learning isn't cutting it. Kelly Pierce, KSL News Radio.
You know, and Dr. Hirsch, of course, with Primary Children's, saying elementary schools in other places have reopened successfully. He has a good point, Dave. Let's listen.
Young children are entering school environments asymptomatic. And if our mitigation strategies are as good as we hope that they can be, transmission will be very rare.
Now, the argument I want to make, Debbie, and I think it touches on both these sound bites that we just played. Let's be honest. What's happening with kids when they're not at school? Are they staying home? Are they isolated? Are they in front of the computer for 7 to 10 hours? Or are they hanging out with friends? Because when they're at school, they are being monitored. They're being watched. They're being asked and forced to wear their masks and social distance when possible. You have teachers that are monitoring this, and our teachers have been doing an amazing job at keeping the kids on point, focused, keeping their masks on. They've been doing a phenomenal job. That's why I think it's safer to have kids in school, because as soon as they're home, they're out partying with their friends. It's just what's happening.
And to back up your point, Dr. Hirsch saying high school students aren't getting COVID-19 during school.
Right.
Although we have heard anecdotal information from callers and from people we've talked to, people in my own community, saying that high schoolers are tending to gather in clusters outside the school during lunch break and not being masked up, certainly not social distancing. They're being high schoolers. But the problem is when they, you know, are hanging out with their friends, and that's also according to what Primary Children's is saying. He says they're tending not to wear masks. Well, I think anybody who has tried to parent a high schooler, it's probably easier to get them to wear a seatbelt than to wear a mask. Here's a little more from Dr. Hirsch right now.
The attendance at school is teaching kids how to function during this pandemic. If we could live our lives outside of school the way the kids are living their lives in school, we would move the needle on this pandemic in a big way.
Let's jump out to the phone lines. We asked for your phone calls, 801-575-TALK. Kobe's on the line. Kobe, where do you land?
Sure. I'm here. I agree with you, Dave. I think we should get them all back in school. I mean, if they're not in school, they're at home or they're out playing with friends and not wearing masks anyway. So they might as well be in school with masks, because everyone is upset with Granite. But yet some of their high schools are still in session and all of their junior highs are in session. Look at Davis County. We have our junior highs and high schoolers that are only there 2 days a week. Even if they close, I understand they're going to close schools. But if they're open more than half of the time, you're beating the amount of kids that are in school in Davis County every day. So you say 6 of 8 schools are closed, but there's at least 2 high schools that are still running just fine, which is better than having everybody at home.
Kobe, appreciate your phone call. I want to just make mention of something. I think sometimes when we report things, and I get this a lot, I get a lot of pushback, I know, from our listeners on this. When I report something, 6 of 8, doesn't necessarily mean that I disagree with it. It just means that these are the facts, folks. 6 of 8 high schools are shutting down or have shut down in the Granite District. And the question is the 15 case threshold too low? I happen to appreciate that the Granite District has stuck with the plan. I appreciate the Granite District and the school board for sticking with the plan that they started with, because I'll tell you, the Canyons District, where my kids went to school, no longer have kids in school, I've heard from parents I still talk to on a regular basis, Dave. They're frustrated with the back and forth on it.
Let me give you a little bit of an insight to what's happening in Davis County. We are the hybrid schedule. Elementary kids, they're going every day, but junior highs and high schools are hybrid schedule. This is what's happening. As soon as Thursday classes are out, it is a four-day weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday before those Thursday kids go back to school. What's happening during those 4 days, folks?
Parties?
I mean, let's be honest here. What's happening during those 4 days? Are you the parent keeping your junior high and high schoolers who have a license, who have a car, who have friends, are you keeping them in lockdown? No, it is not happening. The best way to keep kids masked up and from hanging out in large groups is to keep them in school. I'm convinced. I've been watching it for months and months now. I'm not saying open up the schools because I want everyone to get sick. I'm saying that's the best way to keep kids from getting sick.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.